Welcome to the First Baptist Church Podcast, a ministry of First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To find out more about FBC Cumming, please visit us online at fbccumming.org.
Hey, good morning, church. Several people this morning have said, hey, you look patriotic today, and it's because we'll be in London on July 4th this Friday, and they don't really celebrate July 4th over there, so I'm wearing it while I can. By God's grace, I am still following Jesus today. Because God has put and continues to put Christian friends in my life who lead me, encourage me, correct me sometimes, and point me to Jesus. I think about my coworkers, our staff, brothers and sisters in Christ. They're the real deal. They practice what they preach. Here's a picture of us at a Braves game recently. They point me to Jesus. This is a bonus picture. In that game, we got on the big screen, and this was like my 3.5 seconds of fame. I was so excited about that. I think about my small group here at church. Group of guys, we pray together, serve together. Oh, we're at a Braves game. How about that? Recently, I'm only friends with those who are Braves fans, just conditional. But we serve together, we study God's word together, and they point me to Jesus. I just think about many friends here, and one friend in particular, Sam Mann, who's been a friend to me, one of my best friends here at the church over the years, always, always encouraging me and pointing me to Jesus. If you notice, it's because of Sam's influence, I'm wearing a Georgia shirt. I would never even dream about that before I moved down here. So God works miracles through people. I think about my best friend in life, my wife, Carrie. She shows and shares the love of Jesus in our family every single day, pointing us all to Jesus. Following Jesus is a fight to the finish line. It's a race. It's a mission. And so I continue to need friends in my life, people in my life, who will fight the fight with me, who will run the race with me, who will move on mission with me. I need that. We live in a world full of what I would call superficial friendships. We all have them. We have so-called Facebook friends or social media followers that we don't really know that well or know at all. We have neighbors, coworkers, acquaintances that we may call friends, and they may be friends, but our connection with them, our conversations with them never really go below the surface. And what we all need are not more superficial friendships. What we all need are supernatural friendships. Friendships, in other words, friendships that are brought together by God, focused on Jesus, and enabled by the power of the Spirit. Following Jesus is not a solo sport. It's a team sport that requires all the players to be on the field together, running in the same direction together, pursuing Jesus together. Because I'm telling you, I've experienced it. You probably have too. Left alone in any season, any moment, we can get distracted. We can wander. We can lose our focus. We may even be tempted to and give into that temptation to give up. This is so important. Kelly Needham says this, I love this. Jesus is our bread of life, our living water, our pearl of great price, our light, our resurrection, our very life. I get this. The greatest danger, not just a danger or a great danger, the greatest danger to our soul is that we might abandon abiding in Him, in Christ, following Him and finding our joy in Him. Therefore, the best gift a friend can give is a commitment to fight for our joy in and communion with Christ. Why do marriages exist? So that spouses will encourage each other to stay dependent on Jesus, even when life is challenging. Why does parenting exist? So that parents will encourage their children to be dependent on Jesus, even when life is hard. Why does the church exist? Why does First Baptist Cumming exist? So that we will encourage each other to stay connected to Jesus, to stay dependent on Jesus, even when life is difficult. Because life is difficult. It will be difficult. And so we need each other. In the midst of a very difficult time in his life, David did not need another superficial friendship. He needed a supernatural one. David was in a place called Keilah, and King Saul found out that that's where David was. David also found out that the people in Keilah were going to betray him and hand him over to Saul. So David's in a tough spot. So he left. He fled into the wilderness. He got out of town. And in a jealous rage, King Saul sought to capture him and kill him. And so David was on the run, understandably filled with fear, anxiety, discouragement. So how would David survive this difficult time? Who would show up in his time of need and befriend him? How would he stay faithful to God through this difficult time? And my question for you and for me, for all of us this morning, is when fear wells up inside, it does sometimes. When discouragement comes, and it does come sometimes. When we have some anxiety or stress or worry that creeps into our lives, what do we do? How do you survive those moments? Who shows up in your life? How do you stay faithful to God no matter what you're going through? Those are great questions, and thankfully in his word, God answers those questions, particularly in the verses we're going to look at today. So we're going to be in 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 through 18. And I want to invite you, if you're able, to please stand in the honor of reading of God's word. 1 Samuel 23, verses 15 through 18. David was in the wilderness of Ziph and Horesh when he saw that Saul had come out to take his life. Then Saul's son Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him in his faith in God, saying, "Don't be afraid, for my father Saul will never lay a hand on you. You yourself will be king over Israel, and I'll be your second in command. Even my father Saul knows it is true." Then the two of them made a covenant in the Lord's presence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these verses, this passage, this example of the friendship between David and Jonathan. God, we pray that you would teach us this morning, that you would encourage our hearts this morning, and you would direct our hearts to you and to whatever you want to say to us through your word. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As he faced adversity and discouragement and uncertainty, David desperately needed a friend to come to him, to encourage him, to strengthen him in his faith. And that friend that David needed so badly was Saul's eldest son, Jonathan. And just like David, we need Jonathans in our lives. And we need to be Jonathan-like friends in other people's lives. And so from David and Jonathan's friendship this morning, especially Jonathan and what he did and how he befriended David during this difficult time, I want us to look at three marks, okay? Three marks of supernatural friendship. So if you want a healthy supernatural friendship with your spouse, with other family members, with other church members, with the friends that God has placed in your life, these three marks are non-negotiable, non-negotiable. All right, so you ready? Here we go. Mark number one, love. Supernatural friendships are driven by love. David and Jonathan's friendship began after David defeated Goliath. And so if you go back to 1 Samuel 18, the first few verses, Jonathan, it says, Jonathan was bound to David in close friendship and loved him as much as he loved himself. Verse 3, Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as much as himself. So love is verbal. Jonathan made a verbal commitment with David and said, "David, it's no accident that God has brought you in my life, and I'm going to love you through whatever comes our way." This December, Carrie and I, my wife and I, will celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary. So yeah, come on. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So as we stood on that stage together on December 16th, 2000, at West Jackson Baptist Church in Jackson, Tennessee, we said, I do. And that was important for us to communicate that commitment to each other, to make those vows to each other, to establish that covenant, that marriage covenant. But I'm telling you, we would not be married today. We definitely wouldn't have a healthy marriage today if the I do's didn't lead to actually doing something and fulfilling the commitments that we made to each other, because it's the doing that makes all the difference. Because love is not just verbal, love is visual. Real friends do not just say they love each other, they show their love for each other. Look at verses 15 and 16 of 1 Samuel 23. David was in the wilderness of Ziph and Horesh. When he saw that Saul had come out to take his life, then Saul's son, Jonathan, came to David. Jonathan saw his friend in need, but he didn't just sit back and pray for him. He came to him. A real friend shows up in a time of need. A real friend steps into difficult situations and listens. A real friend is proactive, ready, and willing to do whatever it takes to serve, to help, to bless. And of course, the best example of this kind of love is the love that Jesus has shown us. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to do whatever it took to meet our greatest need, namely the forgiveness of sin and reconciliation with God. Jesus said this in John 15, verses 12 and 13. In fact, let's all read this together. I just want to make sure you're awake, I guess. All right, let's all read this out loud together. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Driven by love, Jesus laid down his life for you, dying in your place, absorbing the wrath of God on your behalf, paying the punishment that you deserve. That's love in action. Did he have to do it? No. He chose to do it. And so now Jesus commands all of his followers to love others like he has loved us, willingly, joyfully, sacrificially. And that love changes everything. That kind of love changes everything. But it's ultimately not about being a better friend or having better friends. All that's good. But it's about being friends with Jesus, because friendship with Jesus changes you. Changes you from the inside out, changes you and your friendships. Friendship with Jesus enables you to have supernatural friendships. So the question is, how are you showing and sharing the love of Jesus with the people, with the friends God has put in your life? How are you loving them like Jesus? That's mark number one, love. Mark number two, encouragement. 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. This is really a key verse here in this passage we're looking at today. It says, Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him in his ability to play the harp. No, that's not what it says. Let's try again. Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him to follow his heart. No, that's not what it says. Let's try again. Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him to keep his head up and hang in there. No, I mean, we laugh a little bit because we've all said that, or we've all had that said to us, but here's what this says right here. Here's what Jonathan did. Jonathan came to David in Horesh and encouraged him in his faith in God. I love that. How many of you have ever been encouraged by a friend? How many of you have ever been encouraged? Hopefully all of you, yeah. Now, how many of you are grateful for that encouragement? Right, yeah, all of us. We all need encouragement. I'm not sure there's such a thing as over-encouragement. We all need to be encouraged in various ways, but the greatest encouragement that we need is the encouragement to keep trusting and obeying God, to keep our faith in God. I love what Marshall Segal says. He says, to encourage is to give courage. Not simply to console or compliment someone, and certainly not to flatter, but to strengthen a heart for risk. In other words, a heart for risking for the cause and the mission of God, a heart for risk or adversity. Every Christian, that means every Christian, needs a steady stream of courage to endure suffering, to reject temptation, to sacrifice in love, to embrace discipline, to persevere in ministry, to trust and obey God. In my office here at church and in my office at home as well, I've kept and collected notes of encouragement that people have sent me over the last 20-something, 25 years of ministry. Every once in a while, I'll run across those notes and I'll be encouraged again. And I just think, and so grateful, think about how God has used those notes to encourage me to keep going in ministry, to keep following Jesus, to keep trusting in God's promises. So what are some practical ways that you can encourage others in their faith in God? Let me give you three. Share, serve, support, okay? Number one, share. Share words of encouragement. In the first century, persecution caused believers to scatter from Jerusalem. And so as those believers shared the good news of Jesus, many people in cities like Antioch believed. And so the church in Jerusalem sent a guy named Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, to check things out, make sure it's legit. So Acts 11, verses 22, 23, news about them reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to travel as far as Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God, real friends see the grace of God at work in other people's lives. They recognize and they communicate to people, hey, I see God at work. I see God's grace at work in and through you. And that's what Barnabas did. He saw the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged all of them to remain true to the Lord with devoted hearts. So take some time this week. It's not hard. Take some time this week to be a Jonathan, to be a Barnabas. Meet up with a friend. Text a friend. Call a friend. Encourage them and say something like, I see God's grace at work in your life. Keep going. Keep trusting God. Keep studying his word. Keep praying. Keep depending on him. And God will continue to use you for his purposes. So share words of encouragement. Serve with others in the church. Number two, so Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you want to stay faithful to Jesus and his mission, then you need encouragement from other church members. And if you want your family members and friends to stay faithful to Jesus and his mission, then they're going to need encouragement from you and other church members. That's why we constantly emphasize, serve on a ministry team, serve in a small group. Serve on a ministry team, serve in a small group. Find a ministry team, get to serving. Find a small group, get to serving. So important, so important. Earlier this year, I'm going to put another picture up of my small group. We had a Muslim neighbor invite us over, invite our small group over to their house. We were there for about 5 or 6 hours. The goal was just to hang out, really connect, get to know one another, eat dinner together. It was a great time. But I tell you what, I was encouraged by several things. I was encouraged by the other men in my group as we went together, traveled together to the house and prayed together and prayed for them and prayed for us. Even while they had their prayer time, they had to have their prayer time while we were meeting with them, we prayed for them while they had their prayer time. It was encouraging. But the thing that encouraged me the most is that one of the men in my small group had the opportunity to share his personal testimony, his story about how Jesus had changed his life and why he decided to put his trust and hope and why salvation is only found in Jesus. And that was so encouraging. We left that house that night encouraged because we did it together. We served together. When you serve with others in the church, God uses you to make a difference, and God uses you to encourage others to make a difference. And then number three, support the work of our mission partners. Most likely, Paul wrote the book of Romans from Corinth in 57 AD. Rome was the most influential city. It was the New York City or the London of its time. And so he wanted the church in Rome to be a base of support as he sought to take the gospel to new places like Spain. And here's what Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome. I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. What's that spiritual gift? It's encouragement. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. If Paul needed partners in his life to encourage him, don't you think our mission partners need encouragement from us? And if the Christians in Rome encouraged a partner like Paul, don't you think we could be encouraged by our mission partners? It works both ways. Mutual encouragement. This past week, I heard one number was over 5,000, but let's just say thousands of missionaries quit or leave the field every year from preventable reasons like discouragement, family struggles, relational conflict. Storming the gates of hell is not easy. Advancing the mission of God is not easy. And so we need encouragement as we move on mission with God, and our partners need encouragement as they advance the mission. We sent over 50 church members to serve with our partners in Lynch, Kentucky this week, and I look forward to hearing even more about how our partners' needs were met, how they were encouraged, but also how you were strengthened in your faith as well. I know it was a great trip. They did a kids camp, and our mission partners up there are Terry and Angie Burkeen, and they direct Club 180 Ministry, and just longtime partners. And I asked Terry this week, I said, please share a few words about how our partnership, our church's partnership with you, has encouraged you and your ministry. And here's what Terry said. FBC Coming is our family. I know you all fervently pray for us, and we pray for you as well. Your support throughout these years has meant so much and brought encouragement and joy to our hearts through the power of God's Spirit working through your church. Priceless. Isn't that great? Karen mentioned it. It's one of the reasons why we're going to London this week. It's just to be with our partners, encourage them, see the grace of God at work in them. Take some Fritos to Terry Quick while we're there. He's requested Fritos. If they had Fritos back in Jonathan's day, Jonathan would have brought Fritos to David, no doubt. Our partners need encouragement, our local and global partners. And of course, not everybody can go. Not everybody's going to go to our partners around the world. So one of the main ways that you can support them is through giving generously to them. And so if you want to give directly to our partners, you can do that. You can go online, click on Give, and in the drop-down menu, there's Acts 1-8 Missions, and that goes, all of that giving to Acts 1-8 Missions goes to our partners locally and globally. Or you can write a check and designate it to Acts 1-8 Missions and put it in the offering boxes in the lobby. Our giving, our going, our praying for them go a long way in encouraging them and spurring them on, and we get encouraged as well. All right, so first two marks of supernatural friendships. Number one's what? Love. Number two, all right, number three is humility. Humility. This comes from verses 16 and 17 in 1 Samuel 23. Then Saul's son Jonathan came to David in Horesh, encouraged him in his faith in God, saying, "Don't be afraid, for my father Saul will never lay a hand on you. You yourself will be king over Israel, and I'll be your second in command." Now think about this. Jonathan was King Saul's eldest son and the rightful heir to the throne. Like his father, Jonathan could have been very jealous of David. Jonathan could have tried to prevent David from pursuing God's plan. He could have, but he didn't. In his humility, Jonathan put David before himself. In his humility, Jonathan paved the way for David to fulfill God's mission for his life. And from that line of David came the perfect king, the final David, the Savior, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Husbands and wives, God has a mission for you. to follow Jesus and to lead others to follow Jesus? How will you humble yourselves and help each other fulfill that mission? Parents, grandparents, God has a mission for you, for your and for your kids and for your grandkids, for them to love Jesus, to know Jesus, to follow Jesus, and to lead others to know and love and follow Jesus. How will you humble yourselves and help your kids and grandkids to fulfill that mission? Church, God has a mission for us to follow Jesus and to lead others to follow Jesus. How will we humble ourselves and help each other fulfill that mission? My grandparents had a group of friends that they met with every Sunday night, had dinner with every Sunday night after church for over 50 years. Here's a picture of them. They call themselves the Sunday Night Bunch. My grandparents are on the far left there, Mark and Elizabeth Lundy. And as a kid, I watched them do life together. They attended church together. They served in the church together. They served in the community together. They raised kids together. They went through bad times and good times together. How? They're all in heaven now. They're all in heaven now. How did they keep the faith and make it to heaven? How did they stay focused on Jesus and his mission? Well, it's partly because they had the three marks: love, encouragement, and humility. And in this broken world full of broken relationships, we all know what selfishness and pride and discouragement look like. We've seen it in our own lives. We see it in the relationships around us all the time. So what this world needs are not more superficial friendships or broken relationships. What this world needs to see are more supernatural friendships. Committed Christ followers, like my grandparents, who were known for their love and their encouragement and their humility. So, in our families, among our friends, in our church, let's love each other like Jesus. And let's encourage each other in our faith in God. And let's pave the way for each other to fulfill God's mission. And I love thinking about this. Think about it. 100 years from now, we're all gone from this earth. We're in heaven. And we can go to each other. We can go to our friends. And we can say thank you. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for investing in me. Thank you for inspiring me to keep trusting in God no matter what. Thank you for living on mission with me. Thank you for following Jesus with me. Let's pray together. I invite you to spend a few moments with God. Some of you in the room may not yet know Jesus. You've not yet surrendered your life to Jesus and started following Jesus. So I want to give you the opportunity this morning to talk to God about that. If you're ready to follow Jesus, you can say something like, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that my sin separates me from you, and I need forgiveness. And God, I know that you sent Jesus to die on the cross and then come up out of that grave 3 days later. And you sent him so that I could be forgiven, so that I could have eternal life. And so, God, I want that. I want to follow Jesus. I surrender my life to Jesus today. Lead me, change me, forgive me, and make me the man or the woman, student I need to be. For many of us in the room, we're already followers of Jesus. Maybe we've been following Jesus for a long time. But today's just been a reminder of how we need supernatural friendships. So ask God to lead you to be the friend, a Jonathan-like friend that you need to be to others in your life. And ask God to bring Jonathans into your life so that you can keep your eyes on Jesus and stay true to the Lord. God, thank you for the people that you've put in our lives. Help us to be wise and faithful stewards of the friendships you've given us. And use those friendships to help us keep trusting you and pursuing you and advancing your mission. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast from First Baptist Church in Cumming, Georgia. To learn more about First Baptist Cumming, visit us online at fbccumming.org.